We're just rolling to the second coming.
The month is over.
What does time mean to us? It's just, we do our work every day, and we're waiting. There's that anxiousness we have, you know. First of Antichrist, you know, when he comes to power, it's just going to be fun. Wouldn't that be fun? You know what would be fun about that? It's all out in the open.
Yeah.
It's pretty much in the open now, but when he comes to power, he, the big shot, the big, you know, comes out there. Yeah.
I was looking at his thing. He's got a kid, and he bar mitzvahed. His
Yanuka?
Just, yeah, Yanuka's got a kid, and he just got him bar mitzvahed about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, poor kid.
Poor kid. Well, God looks at the souls, you know. He knows where to put them, right? So what's today's 8/20? Yeah.
Yeah.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's date is the 8th month, the 20th day, year 2023. It's the 12th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's a feast day of coronation of the Blessed Virgin Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth and of Angels and Saints, the Queen of Queens.
And Brother Lewis's birthday,
too. Now, what happens, what we did is, because we on our calendar, we have to, in our Roman Missal, we rearranged, and it's really, to me, it's really perfect. Everything fits nice. And what we did was, the first Lord's Day after the Assumption is when we do the coronation. It makes sense. Because really, when Mary was assumed into heaven, she was greeted, and then as soon as she was greeted, she was coronated. I mean, within the same day, maybe the week, you know, I don't know how. But very shortly after she assumed into heaven, she was then made the Queen of Heaven and Earth. She was crowned. So that's why we do it the way we do it. It's different on the old on the other calendar. Now, like I said, I'm going to bring Sister Irina in first as a member of the faithful. And then when Augustine's on at 12, we'll bring him in out. Something with Irina, she filled out the form, and which this came to my attention, which I didn't, it's a little thing we should have been doing on the other ones. When on the consent form, it says profession of faith information. And so you put down, well, it's taking place here, right? Mary's at a ranch. And I'm the minister. You, Will and Ryan are the two witnesses she put down to witness the profession of faith. But what we didn't put down is they're going to think she was here.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So what I did, and I'm going to reword, well, maybe it's okay the way it is in miscellaneous, though. So what I told her to do in the miscellaneous, we're going to put online from Belgium. And then she puts the dress. Online from, and then you'll know that she was in Belgium. We're over here. Because a lot of people are going to say, did all these people fly over from Ireland to come over to the community center, and then they went back the next day?
Yeah.
So it's not accurate.
Yeah.
So from now on, when we're doing it like this online, which is going to happen a lot, in the miscellaneous part, they can put online from, and then they put the address. So this is something I haven't been... You know, it's amazing. You always think stuff's always coming up, you know? It's like I was telling you, when you watch those war games, you learn a lot from those war games. Because those are highly technical, tactical, strategic stuff. But I would really have a lot of my kids, the man boys, I would have men children, I would have them learn a lot of it because it teaches you a lot. Teaches you strategy, teaches you mathematics, teaches you how to think, teaches you how to be orderly. And it teaches you how to perfect. So when you fought, I look at the faith like that. I said, if a war game, and that's what they do with the war, when they put on a war game, it doesn't just end. They keep perfecting it. What they call patches. So they update it. And they go, okay, there's bugs. We got to fix this. This guy's a little too strong. Make him a little weaker. This guy's not accurate. We got to change this. So war games are always being perfected. And it's a give and take. And that's the way the faith is. I look at myself being as diligent as they are on their war games with their faith, perfecting it. Did I misspell something? Is this wrong? Is that right? Did I word this the right way? And so it's the same kind of a procedure. And here, we're talking about here with this now. Hey, guess what? You know, I just look at it now, and I should have noticed that before. They're signing this thing, and you would just look at all their forms and think they were here.
Yeah.
So the new form, also... When we had the thing with the guy just fell away, came in, and what was that? He was a member. Oh, yeah, and we thought, though, he didn't sign, but he did. That's another issue. But there are things where you got to perfect. So this is one thing I'm going to work on. But I might just leave miscellaneous is good enough the way it is.
Right.
Then all they got to put is online from, mm-hmm. yeah. And so now, okay, let's get right to that. So this way, Sister Irina and I, we can pray in communion with her and all that once she comes in. And if she was attending church here, see, if you were here, like when Sal was here and all that, you have to leave, if we're doing the full mass prayers, you would have to leave, which we only do a couple times a year anyway. So you would have to leave after the Nicene Creed. You can attend the Mass of the Catechumens. Even in choirs can do that. And they used to attend, that's how they would learn a lot. And they would be there for the lecture. St. Ambrose converted a lot of people on the Lord's Day that would attend his Mass, but only the first part, the Mass of the Catechumen. So let's get ready. We're going to get ready to bring Sister Irina into the church. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. And she's coming in as a member and as one of the faithful. On this day of 8-20-2023, do you, Irina, consent to all the things in the profession of faith for the days of the great apostasy, version 8-20-22, composed by Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani? Hence, do you believe that all the things that are not mentioned as allowable opinions are dogmas? And do you believe that all the allowable opinions are allowable opinions, even though you may not believe in one or more of the allowable opinions? They always say I'm going to reword. That's just another thing. It's a little clumsy, see? But, anyway. And do you pledge allegiance to Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani as the sole ruler of the Catholic Church in these days of the great apostasy? As long as he remains faithful, even though he is not a pope, until the time the church has a pope, at which point do you pledge allegiance to the pope? Therefore, until then, do you pledge to obey him in all things dealing with the Catholic Church and faith, to respect him and be loyal to him, and to pay him tithes either directly or to a Catholic authorized by him? Okay, Irina?
I do.
Okay, and then sign your document. Let us know when you signed it.
It's signed.
Okay, congratulations, Irina.
Thank you.
You're now inside the Catholic Church, and all your sins are remitted in the punishment due to your sins. Contemplate that. Contemplate what we're talking about here. I mean, she was baptized in the Russian Orthodox Church. So in her case, it's a give me. She was never Catholic. In our case, we weren't neither. And it's easy for us because we use the Santa Claus test. I just ask people, you know, they go, oh, my priest, he held a salvation dogma. Yeah, but did you believe Santa Claus, you know? Well, then you're hurt. Santa Claus is a big, fat, bastard, mythological, false god creature. Godlike creature. Okay, so that's it. I mean, I don't know how far that goes back, but that you're all bounced out on Santa Claus alone. You know, what is it? It only takes one heresy to fall out of the church. Like Augustine, when he wrote the letter to the Diamonds, and the Diamonds were saying, well, plus the idols, they're not, he acts like they're all over the place. They're inconspicuous or something. Inconspicuous. They're on the walls, they're on the ceilings, they're on the floors. And I said, it only takes one.
On the doors.
Doors going into the
how
church.
How inconspicuous can you be? Showing the whole world that it's
and
on
it
the
only
door.
Takes one. My point is, if instead of putting Zeus on the doors of the Vatican, they put the fat bastard Santa Claus, Satan Claus on there, that's enough. Who's that? That's Santa Claus. He knows your thoughts. He's all powerful. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows everything you do. He can reward you and he can punish you. I thought that was God. Well, yeah. Well, so Santa Claus is God. Yeah, I mean, how crazy it is. But in her case, of course, we know it's being baptized in the Russian Orthodox Church, which probably is not as evil as the nominal, and it isn't. This Vatican II Church and the Renaissance Church as it went on was probably even worse. But nevertheless, she wasn't. Now she's in the church.
Yep.
For the first time. I mean, the reason you want to contemplate that is, and see, sometimes people, that's why people, I say it, would put their baptisms off and they would wait till they're ready to die to get baptized in the Catholic Church because then they don't have to go to purgatory. But that's tempting God. So the church condemned that. And they said, you know, you start doing that, you may die and not get baptized. And now you're going to hell because you waited. And sometimes people wait because they never think they're worthy enough. Or you're always thinking, as long as you're not committing any mortal sins currently, but if you can still be committing venial sins and have faults and be weak, like we all have those faults and some venial sins that we commit here and there, we confess them right away. We have that. So, you know, if you're waiting to be perfect before you come into the church, it's not going to happen. You can get pretty good, though, before, but still. There's a scrupulous person may think, hey, what happens if I come in? I could go bad tomorrow. Yeah, anybody can go bad tomorrow. But, you know, and it's good to be aware of that, but don't let that spook you out and prevent you from coming in. And sometimes it could be a self-fulfilled prophecy. That's like you want yourself to fall out. Yes, it's true. So you don't. But God does give you a confidence, and He does, that you're pleasing to Him. He'll give you that. He'll give you a peace and a confidence that as you are now, you are pleasing to Him. And you don't want to be overly scrupulous neither, because sometimes at night you're thinking, like I think one of the other brothers mentioned a good thing to me. He said, in our confessions at night, every night, and when you examine your conscience, it doesn't take long. I mean, basically, he says, what happens if I didn't sin that day? I'm trying to think if I did something and I'm trying to make something up. And this is what they told us to do when we were young, by the way, when we went to confession. Make something up.
Yeah.
So I'd go, okay, I disobeyed my parents 3 times, which I didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, I cursed once, which I didn't. But because you got to tell the priest something.
Yeah.
So you'd make stuff up. You know? So you can tell him something. You know? And the point is, well, you start thinking too much about, am I thinking enough? Did I miss something? A scrupulous person can be there for hours. Every little thing he does, he thinks is a sin. That's another issue. But my point is, what I told him is, if you didn't commit, most days, if you're right with God, there's nothing to confess. Maybe faults, venial sins, lack of patience. But what I told him is, during the day with my prayers, if I sin or commit a venial sin or a fault during the day, make me aware of it forthwith. And I confess it right away. I don't wait tonight. So like, the other day, I got a little overly angry, a little overly impatient. So I said, oh, God, forgive me, help me, I'm sorry for being impatient, help me to be more patient. Sometimes it's okay to get angry, and righteously angry. And even yell, it's righteous yelling is good. But there's a point where, if it goes into impatience, so what I'm saying is, if you do something wrong, you said something mean to somebody, you didn't treat somebody the way you should have, catch yourself right away. I mean, and you say, oh my God, I'm sorry for doing this. Help me to be patient. There's your confession. So at nighttime, you don't have to, you already did. You could recollect at nighttime what your sin was and confess it again. But if you ask, I ask, we have that in one of my morning prayers. Make me aware of my sins forthwith, immediately. And God will do that for you. Venial, mortal, it'll be like a sledgehammer. If you're right with God and you did commit mortal sin, He'll put a sledgehammer on you. And you get all kinds of fearful and nervous and afraid, and you should. And then you'll turn to God and say, oh my God, please, I'm sorry. But as you start getting, the whole thing is, there is a point and there is a thing where God does definitely let you know that you're in a state of grace, pleasing. You can't be certain, but He can be morally certain. To a certain degree, you could. You really could. And a lot of times, when I was scrupulous myself, a couple of stoicky, not too long ago, myself even, you would think that these venial sins are all mortal. But they're not all mortal. Mortal sins, like we're talking adultery, murder, homo, you know, certain things are pretty in your face. Apostasy, hating a brother to the point of almost wanting to kill him. So there's certain things that are mortal. And then God could let you know about all of that. But a lot of the other stuff that I used to think was moral is just it's venial. But you still need to confess it. And you need to try to overcome that. So basically, that's why, you know, instead of waiting, and you're doing this every day, you're catching up on yourself every day. You know, when did any priest ever talk to us like this from the pulpit? Never. Never. Because they didn't care. They were like Martin Luther, sin and sin boldly. Just go to confession on the, you know.
Most of them knew they were about to go sin after they got out of confession.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, Bruce. Because they didn't want to overcome their sins. And they had that false confidence. They used confession the way Luther used faith alone. Salvation by confession alone, without firm purpose of amendment. And that's why we always say, and you know it's amazing, because I didn't even notice until I started studying the faith. We believe, it's like, go to confession, don't worry. Forget firm purpose of amendment. You can keep sinning like slobs. And the priest would even tell you, don't worry, you can't stop sinning, just come to confession. That's what he would tell you. Like I tell the joke all the time, the mafia guy goes, bless me, Father, I've sinned. I murdered 2 people last week, can you forgive me? Yeah. And I got 2 more murders planned for the following week. He goes, can you forgive me? Well, no, come back next week and I'll forgive you for those next week. So wait till you do the murder and then come to me. You know? What does a priest do when he knows somebody doesn't have firm purpose of amendment? He doesn't give him absolution. If that guy keeps coming back every week and he's murdering people or adultery, the priest says, I can no longer give you absolution because you don't have a firm purpose of amendment. Now, if you're lying to the priest, God sees it and your sins aren't remitted. You need to be sorry for your sin and a firm purpose of amendment. I ain't going to do it no more. We didn't have that, is what I'm telling you. We were never told that. They kept all of that from us because of what Brother Bruce just said right here, because the slob, pig, dirty, filthy, sinful priest himself, right after his mass, right after, is going out and committing sins. And he knows it. And he wants to keep doing it, and he doesn't want to stop. And then what happens when you start getting that mentality, you don't believe you could stop. And it gets scarier. It gets scarier because the first thing is you don't believe you could stop, but you could, but you don't believe it and you really don't want to. Here's the last part. Now you can't because God's going to pull his grace away. Now you can't. You're not even going to want to. You're going to be set wicked and hard in that sin until a miracle of God turns back to you. But you can say, that's not fair now. No, it is fair because God gave you all these chances and you didn't do it, so he sees you're not worthy of it. It's a scary thing. But that's the thing that we grew up with confession, the mentality we had. And when I really studied the true sacrament of penance, it's beautiful. They made a sacrilegious use of it. To me, penance was like a bullshit excuse. It was like you went there, these 3 Hail Marys, and you're going out the next one. I mean, it was sacrilege. Like they abused this Holy Sacrament. And when you look at the Holy Sacrament and the reality of the teachings of the true church, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's God's mercy and his justice and everything taking place. And it's not like a free ticket to go out and sin boldly, which is what we believed it was. And same thing with the Mass. They think they can just go to Mass every Lord's Day and everything's fine. Who cares about the faith? Matthew Knight brought up some good stuff about when he was out there. And he says the stuff about Lou DeMontfort, even the apostate bastard that he was, something about, well, as long as you pray the rosary devoutly every day and you love Mary, you're never going to go to hell. You know, it's like just wear the scapular, the brown, and you're going to save yourself. You don't got to do anything else. And he came up with 2 different devotions like that. And I didn't know Lou de Montfort, we got a lot of stuff on him. He was a Stoic and he was bad, but this is something, maybe I did put it in my book, I got to look. But it's one of those false devotions. Go to Mass, wear the brown scapular. I said, why do you go to Mass? Why do we pray? Why do we pray the rosary? To get grace. And why do you need grace? So you can cooperate with it and do good works, profess the Catholic faith, study the faith, and obey God's commandments. If you don't do those other things, you're an imposter. You're actually saying that grace is going to do everything for you, like the Protestants say. I'm going to get this grace, and it's impenetrable. It's going to protect me. I don't have to do anything. That's what Protestants believe in. They don't have to do any good works. They don't got to obey God's commandments. All they got to do is believe in Jesus. And they get this, what we call this super grace. Actually, it's a super grace that pardons you without you even wanting to be pardoned. Pardons you while you're obstinately in sin. Grace gives you the ability to do something. And you need to do something with it. And they don't believe that. It's an excuse, a giant excuse. And that's what we believe. Think about it. Confession. I'm going to go in here and just, and I'm going to go out and keep sinning every week. I'm covered. Ours is a little different than the Protestant, but it's the same end result. They don't even need to go to confession. They just believe in Jesus. Our thing was, go to confession. No firm purpose of amendment. You ain't got to be sorry. And the priest, absolutely. How many times? Can't stop sinning, Richard. Well, I prove you to be a bastard liar. I told the story a million times to you people on my lectures, but just short again. And when they tell you that, you know, you're a young kid, let's say you're dealing with lust or something, and a priest tells you you can't overcome it, thank you, Father, for helping me, you know. You just pushed me into the pit. Now I'm not going to have no hope. But like I said, when God called me, I was about 40 years old, and I really, really turned to God, Mary, and God, and told them to clean me up. They did. I say it many times, 40 years, I'm 67, that's what, 27 years? I didn't commit one sin of impurity, not one sin of impurity, 27 years, okay? How's that, Father, you lying piece of shit in the confessional who tell people they can't stop? How is it that I can stop? Who had all that problem. That's why they're against the celibate priesthood. They think it's, oh, that's why the priests are doing all those things, because a priest can't be celibate. Well, I prove you wrong. I went to the true God and my Holy Mother Mary with a firm purpose, I'm sincere, and he cleaned me up within 6 months. And believe, this is not a small thing. All these priests tell us to the kids that are going, you can't stop sinning, don't worry about it. So they're all sinning like slobs, and they can't stop. And God's not going to give them the grace to stop because we're making a mockery out of it. But I always sat back and thought, there's something weird about this. I always knew that that was wrong when they said celibacy. I said, what do you mean you can't be celibate, you know? I wasn't. I was committing all these sins. But when I finally turned to, and then, you know, I was married too. But when you turn to God, and this is after I separated from my wife too and all that. And I turned to God, and he cleaned me up. Okay. 27 years, he cleaned me up. I'm thinking of several priests by name that I know about who said this, who talk like this, who tell you that you can't overcome. What does that mean, Father? What are you doing, Father? Did I like to ask the priest, what are you doing that you can't overcome? Little boys? Little girls? Big boys? Big girls? Alcohol? Are you drunker? What are you doing? What are you doing, Father? You know, if a priest was a mortal sin, he's not supposed to be dispensing the sacraments. He's not allowed to function as a priest in mortal sin. Go ahead. And some mortal sins would, like if it was adultery or something, ban him from the priesthood for life. Go ahead.
Well, we get the perfect example from Christ when he says, go and sin no more to the woman.
Luke 8:12.
Yes. Go and sin no more.
And 5:14, where he's, go and sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to you.
Yeah.
I got those two verses I use. But that's not what the, okay? So, I mean, what a, think about how diabolical this is. So the devil knows, as human beings, fallen human beings in our wicked flesh, that when you've got a priest propelling you to it, he's giving you a license to sin. And now you know why they're all sinning like crazy, all of them. All of them. Look what's going on. And you're, well, we're all sinners. That's what they do. Yeah. No, our Lord says, let there be no sin found in you. What he meant was, yeah, we were all sinners by original sin. We commit venial sins, but we overcome them right away. He doesn't mean that you can't overcome your sins. He says be perfect and holy as God is perfect and holy. Ephesians 1:4. Why would God tell you to be perfect and holy, not give you the grace to do it, and not demand you to do it? Well, I'm a testimony against these bastards. You know something? We say it a million times. I'm going to say it another million times. The worst people in this world are nominal Catholic prelates. Nominal Catholics, if they're in the veto, the prelates, the priests, the bishops, the anti-popes. Who's more dangerous? The true Catholic Church is the only vessel on earth that can purify people and make them worthy of heaven. And when they usurped it and used the same name, and now they're making people dirty and filthy and impure, what could be more evil than that? And you think you're going to the Catholic Church. You think you belong to the Catholic Church. You think you're going to be saved because they're lying to you. And what more wicked thing could be? They're more wicked than a Satanist who eats children. You look at a Satanist, he eats a child, and he's, you know, the guy's crazy. He's a maniac, huh? He's eating kids. He's nuts. These people are very sneaky. And in that confessional, when they tell you, don't worry, you can't stop sinning. I even had one kid, he couldn't stop sinning. And I told him, well, I've stopped. He goes, don't say that. Don't even think that, because you're going to fall. We all fall. I said, what are you, I said to him, what are you doing? You putting a curse on me? That's like, I said, you putting a curse on me? You want me to fall? Get out of here! Be gone, Satan! Now I know why you got your problem. Well, because he was going to the, you know, and then he'd switch priests. If one priest was a little too hard, he'd go to another one. Right? When did he even talk about sin in the pulpit the way they should? About mortal sin, you don't even hear the word mortal sin anymore. Not even sin, let alone mortal sin. Faults, offenses, just like you don't hear about the H words anymore, heresy and heretic. So there's so many things we can look at and say, I mean, just any one of these things can tell you this is not the true Catholic Church. But these guys are more dangerous. Another thing one of the site members said too was that we know the Jews are very evil. They're the top of the evil hierarchy. Nominal Catholics are right below them, Freemasons and all that. But this is the most dangerous people in your life, though, is your own family members that you're living with, if they're not Catholic. You know, they're the most dangerous people. Most people go to hell because they want to become Catholic, but they can't give up the idolization of their family members. They love them more than God. And that sends them to hell. Not the Jew. Not Jaime the Jew. Not the Merchant of Venice guy. What was his name?
Shylock
with his usury and with their pornography and with their filthy Jews and Freemasons. Oh, they do a lot of filthy stuff. It's not even that. It's your own family members because you love them more than God. They're the more dangerous even. The Jews are a dangerous enemy too. They're a hidden enemy. And it could be very and if you don't know that and you're trying to justify them, that could get... But the more dangerous is your own family members. And the nominal Catholic priest that you're going to. Who tells you... you know, you can't stop sinning. I mean, what a lie that is. What? Look, these bastards. A lot of them are Jesuits, too. But it's not just the Jesuits. They're all like that. So when they go to seminary school, you know how they are. They got to study philosophy for 4 years. They got books. They got to read about 20,000 books to read and assume. And out of all this deduction, they're telling you about, no, you can't stop sinning. Keep, don't worry about it. Just go to... They got... What good are all those books? It's trash. It's dirt. It's filth. And it makes him feel like he's smart or like he's got this wisdom and he's got this knowledge. But just take a look at their actions. And even when, basically, too, when you preach that stuff to me in the pulpit, the scholastic crap, I never liked it. I don't even like that stuff anyway.
Pardon me, Richard.
Go ahead.
When I was with the Apostate Diamond Brothers, they said you could go to confession, but it has to be a Vatican I priest.
Yeah.
So I went to confession thinking I'm an evil guy and I need to be forgiven. So I'm telling him all my sins and I thought I was a heretic as well. And he gives me an Our Father and a Hail Mary.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Well, I'll give you another example. I got a couple of them. I don't want to forget the other one. All right, this was the one about my father. I got him to go to confession at the Diamond Brothers. In New Jersey, Berlin, New Jersey, when we were in Berlin, New Jersey. And I don't think I was in there yet as a monk, but I was a layman going down there. Father Clifford was there, and I got my father to go to confession to him. And I knew all the sins my father, at least a lot of the sins my father committed. So I said, Dad, you got to go in and I gave my father a list of and pretty bad ones. So my father goes in there, and he comes out, he goes, hey, Rich, I'm off the hook. He said, this wasn't a sin. He said, this one wasn't too bad, and he only gave me 3 Hail Marys for this one. I went, he just ruined it.
Yeah.
I wanted my father's conscience to get indicted, to feel guilty that he really is, and now he walked out with cushions under his elbows. Yeah. It happened again to another friend, Bobby, who was in a second marriage. And I thought that marriage wasn't correct because he really shouldn't have been able to get a divorce. And I told Bobby, I said, we're going to go up. It was Father Bernard. And my other friend, Keith McFarland, and Bobby Charlo, we went up there to this Father Bernard, and they went to confession to him. I said, Bobby, be ready for him to tell you, you have to leave this woman because she's not your wife. He goes, I'll leave her, whatever he tells me, I'll do it. And he meant it. I know this Bobby did have a fear of God. He comes out and he goes, I'm off the hook, everything's okay. I'm off the hook. But there was another story I was going to tell you.
You were at St. Patrick's, remember?
Oh, that's it. That was it. You got. See, he's my memory guy. Sometimes we all help one another. Yeah, the other one was the priestess, which Will went to. He knows the guy.
Actually, I didn't know go there.
Yeah, yeah, I do. St. Patrick Church. And it was a nice church, but the priest was a flaming heretic. So I went in there, and I confessed the sin. Father, you know, when I was a nominal Catholic years ago, you know, my friend was Italian. He married a Jewish girl, apostate Jewish girl. Father was rich, had a lot of money. And I was the best man, along with four of my other... We all played football on the same football team. And he picked four of us to be best men at his wedding. And there was a Catholic priest there, so-called Catholic priest, and a rabbi, presiding over the wedding. Both of them. And my friend had to wear the Jewish thing, and he had to step on the glass. And we had to wear beanies! Jew beanies! So I said, Father, I committed an act of apostasy. I was like giving justification to apostate Judaism. Oh, no, Richard, that's not a sin.
Yeah.
The Vatican II says you can do that. I says, no, Father. Council Chalcedon, anybody who prays with a heretic is a heretic. I quoted the council. No. Vatican II says this, Richard, so I didn't get any absolution from him. He's telling me it was okay what I did. Okay, you see what I'm talking about here? But even if you went to a priest like that, and he wasn't as bad as that, but you're confessing your mortal sins, and you wonder why you're not getting better, because you don't care about the faith, and neither does he. You think God's going to clean you up? And here's the deception, what they will tell you. Well, I'm glad there's confession, because I usually commit about 3 sins of impurity every week. And if I didn't, I'd commit 6. So I go to confession, keeps my impurities down. You see, I had 6 sins of impurity when I wasn't going, then I went to the priest, I only committed 3. So I'm like at 3 right now. I'm leveling off. You're supposed to do it at all. Zippo, 0. And they make you feel like that. Oh my, if I don't go, I'm going to do it more. It's going to get a hand. No, but you go, and you're never going to say, you're going, you're never going to stop. And if you ever stop one, you're going to pick up 3 more. It's just perpetual. It's not going to, and it's a deception of the devil. That's a deep thing. So you feel guilty. If I don't go, how am I going to stop? Well, guess what, folks? When I told you, when I made that confession to God 27 years ago, I don't go to confession. I confess to God. We have no Catholic priest. God cleaned me up. I'm still clean all these years. If I still go into confession to these bastards, I'd fall back into mortal sins of one form of another. And God will pull his grace away, and it happens. So this is a good lecture to give, because Sister Irina came in now on the idea of yes, you can be holy and perfect. God wants that, demands that from you. Let there be no sin among you. That's another verse somewhere, you know. But taken out of context about we all sin, so. Yeah, we committed original sins, sometimes we commit venial sins. There's a verse that says, if the just man falls 7 times he will rise again, but the wicked shall fall down into evil. So even when you do commit a venial sin or fall, and see, the other thing they tell you too, when you're committing even a venial sin, you confess it quickly, God cleans you up right away. Even a mortal sin, if you confessed it and you did it and you do it quick, God cleans you up. But if you wait and you stay in your mortal sin and you stay in your venial sin and you without confessing it and you stay in your mortal sin, it's like they compare to, like, you know when you clean your dishes right away and all the food comes right out, or you leave it for 3 days and it's all stuck on a pan and you got to scrape it off and you got to scrap it and scrape it because it starts growing. It's true. Now, if you delay, that's what happens. Now, you can still be clean. But you know what that scraping means? Punishment due to sin. Now you're going to have to go through a lot of punishment due to sin because you waited so long. You allowed yourself to be in obstinate mortal sins for so long, you're building up the punishment due to your sin, and now it's going to hurt even more, scraping you clean because you waited so long, because you're obstinate so long. Quick repentance is very good. There's the one verse on that I'll get to in a minute. Yeah.
And also there's the feeling of that you're now clean and you've gotten a sin confessed.
Yeah.
And that gives you strength to yes. be able to not have to want to do that again.
Yeah.
You want to feel that feeling.
And you should want to get it that feeling. You should want to do it that quick. The one verse is in the Maccabees. It's a token of great goodness, so when sinners are not suffered to go on a long way in their sins, but are presently punished. 1 Maccabees 5:12 or something like that. It's a token of great goodness when sinners are not suffered to go on a long way in their sins, but are presently punished, satisfied right away. Confess it, get rid of it, and it's like water over a duck's back. Very easy, not much punishment. You did it quick. You were sincere. Provide sincere confession. You want to wait months after months. We have people left here, and they're not back yet. And the longer they're waiting, the longer they're out there, that rust is getting on. They can still come back, but they got a lot of grime, a lot of worse, a lot of good. You might have to get a sledgehammer on that. Boom, 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 boom. Oh! You see, God punishes you. And then it's going to be a lot harder to remove it. And then there's a lot of after effects because you've been habituated to it. See, I said, you made it become a habit. Obstinate mortal sinners make it a habit.
You know, this week, some of the brothers know about this, I could have gotten bit by a rattlesnake. It was right in front of me, you know, about 3 feet, and I heard him rattle a couple times. The first time I ignored it, didn't pay attention, thought it was a bird. But we shot it, and I was telling Will, I better examine my conscience, I better find out, you know, did I do something that God's trying to remind me of, you know, right away. You know, that's what it did to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, he protected me. I could have gotten bit.
But he probably was testing your faith.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
he's showing you. He's protecting.
I needed to go. So that process is real. Examining your conscience.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Making sure that you're not doing something wrong.
If something like that happens, or like this week, I stubbed my toe pretty bad. And what I thought was somebody put a curse on to kill me, but all I got was a stub toe. Yeah. Black, I showed well. It was all black and blue and all that. So first you think, I went, oh, that's normal. You can do that. It's not complaint. It's just normal. That's a human reaction. I offer it up, Lord. I offer it up because I talk about it. I offer it up for whatever. Now, your thought could be, did I do something wrong? But that didn't last very long because I knew what I was doing the past couple of days. So that was ruled out. It was just devil. Mm-hmm. Most times that's what it is. It's not. Sometimes, though, if you are doing something wrong and you're checking yourself every day, it'll come to you. And generally, when God wants it to come to you, if you're really doing something wrong, it's not just going to be. You can get hit by bombarded to sometimes by a lot of stuff, and you're still okay. But God has a way of bringing it. If you're right with God, He has a way of bringing it to your attention. Sometimes you can be attacked like we have in here. You can 2-3 days in a row. You get like, what the heck is going on? The devil's beating the crap out of me. I'll say that. You know, the devil's and even one of the brothers said, the devil's beating me up pretty good. So. Most times, if you already examined your conscience and you don't have anything on your conscience, you will have, then don't burden yourself and try to figure out something that's not there. You might start thinking you committed a sin when you didn't commit a sin at all. Remember that person I passed I should have said hello to? Or remember when over there I should have done this? I should have done. And they start thinking too much. But you're not going to escape. Like St. Paul says, it was my verse today. You haven't resisted on the blood yet. Yeah, how's that go again?
Chastisement.
You have not resisted on the blood yet. He said, what are you complaining about? He says, about your persecutions? Yeah, if that's what it comes down to. You haven't even resisted on the blood yet. Don't worry about it. The devil is going to attack you. He's going to beat you up. But we beat him back. And we always win. As long as you're faithful to God, always know that whatever He does to you, and I know whatever He does to us, the people that are putting curses on us, the living human beings, the devils and damn humans get it. He punishes them. They got to pay for what they do to us. And the living human beings, the witches and the warlocks and the Kabbalistic Jews and who's ever putting curses, they get it. And some of them, God kills them. He'll kill them. They're running out of witches and warlocks to go against us because they're all being killed. That's what you hope, right? I know some of them are for sure. That's a fact. We know one guy, first-hand testimony, he was a CIA guy, was spying on us. Yeah. God killed him. Go ahead. Spy on us. You know, two things can happen if you're spying on us. Bugs. Oh, I don't mind if they put bugs around here, cameras, because they're going to have to listen to Christianity, to true Catholicism. I might convert them. St. Paul converted a lot of his guards that were prison guards. So you can spy. Go. But if you're malicious and you're spying on me, watch out. That's all I'm going to tell you. Watch out. You're in deep crap. It's a just thing for God to repay tribulation to them that trouble you.
1 Thessalonians 1:6.
That was Brother Nick. It's a just thing for God to repay tribulation to them that trouble you. You can't see it, but it would be nice to see it once in a while. All right.
I just want to add that my little rattlesnake story. But the good part is, I never go out there without having my breastplate, you know, prayer said in the morning.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. Always think of that.
I know. The only confidence that I have walking around in them plants isn't the gun that I got to go
No, get. It's the prayer.
It's the prayer.
Because you would have been bit already, Bruce. That's, you would have bit you before the gun.
I would have gotten bit 3 or 4 times.
You could have had a gun on here and you could be as quick draw McDraw. Yeah. He's still going to get you. Well, who's the other guy? Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, you know? Yeah. St. Patrick breastplate.
That's right.
That's what gives us our confidence.
That's it.
You know. But, I mean, God shows us the protection that He gives us. But we're in a war. You know, there's a combat. There's a war going on down here, I always tell you. True Catholic parents, as soon as they have the little kid, and he's breathing his first breath, before you give him his first meal even, mm-hmm. You go, son or daughter, there's a war going on down here! A war! You don't want to yell at him. He'll get scared of his parents. But when he gets a little older, you don't want him to be scared of you. And he might not want to eat. But when he gets old enough to understand, you know, achieves the use of reason. Sonny boy, there's a war going on down here. This ain't no nice place. This is a penal colony. A bunch of evildoers, wicked, dirty bastards. You know, you hear the opposite today. It's a great world. Everyone's good. It's not us against them. It's us and us. We're all together. Mush, mush, all together.
Yeah.
I mean, we were living in a world of wolves and evildoers, and they were telling us everything's okay.
Yeah.
We became a wolf and an evildoer. Yeah. There was no warnings. There was nothing. And then a priest would even encourage and tell you, don't worry about it. But, you know, we all sin, keep sinning. And priests would tell you, there's no such thing as devils. How many priests told me that? That there's no such thing as devils. Jesus just used that because we aren't scientifically advanced. What? To understand that with aliens from other planets? You know what those aliens are? UFOs are devils from hell. Pretending that. But here's the priest telling me that's another thing. If anybody is more dangerous in this whole world, it can't. I say it again, a nominal Catholic priest. They ripped the faith right out of me. I'm not making excuses for my own sins, but God does say you can scandalize one. Woe to you who scandalize one of these little ones who believe in me. For a better for you that a millstone be tied around the neck, you'd be cast into sea. Mark 9:41, right? What time is it? All right.
Mother Richard.
Yeah.
This coming back like from a long time ago, even the Borgia Pope, I was watching the movie and it was disgusting. Like, he has a bunch of bastard sons, daughters, and it's just horrible. So not even the traditionalists will condemn him, because for them it's a Catholic Pope, a true Pope.
Great. Now that's what he's saying here, and this is good, he added this in. We're not just talking about the Vatican II Church.
Right.
It goes back to the Renaissance Church. This has been going on since this great apostasy began. And we're talking about when they put the idols on the door in 1400. Borgia's around the late 1400s, early 1500. The guy had bastard children. They were committing homosexuality. He didn't, but he was with women. His thing was with women. So they were either fornicating with women, bastard children, committing adultery. A lot of them were homos back then. And this is when they glorified mythology and philosophy. And they couldn't control themselves anymore. And they were sinning boldly and using confession as an excuse. Using the confessional as an excuse to continue to sin. And that Borgia movie is 100% accurately true. And I tell the people many times when I first got it, and I was a little bit of a papologer myself, I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm putting this away. This is horrible. You're doing a hatchet job. Later on, when we came across the History of Post by Louis Pasteur, I read about what they really did and went, wow, the movie, he was worse than the movie.
Yeah.
He did things even worse than the movie show. The movie was accurate. It's not just the Vatican II Church. This goes back to the whole scholastic thing about they're not judging anybody properly. They're not punishing anybody. They don't condemn heretics anymore as heretics. They don't cast them out of the church. They stay in communion with one another. I used to remember that one quote from Susan. Go ahead.
Yeah, in order to rebuke the Protestants, who they had to defend? The Borgia Pope, because like he was like so bad that it was him that caused all this revolt against the Catholic Church.
Yes, exactly. Why do you think the revolt was so successful? Why did the Protestant revolt take root? The scandal that was created by these apostate anti-popes and their behavior. The scandal was so great that it caused a lot of these people to reject the whole church. Yeah, they threw the baby out with the bathwater. They're still guilty for doing that, but I still think these Renaissance guys are worse than a lot of them.
Yeah.
And God could take a lot of these Protestants that were scandalized and weigh it out before they die and see, did they do a lot of good stuff? They went a little too far here and there, but they're not as bad as the Borgia guy or whatever, and he can convert them on their deathbed. And I think there's more chance to get a conservative-minded Protestant that scandalizes this stuff to convert him on the deathbed than the Borgia guy that's out there openly committing these sins and creating this scandal. What do you think split the church in half? Remember the one verse that says the Antichrist can't come to power until that which is holding him back is taken away? What was holding back the Antichrist from coming to power? True popes. Even though some of the true popes, some were better than others, but they were true popes. True popes ruling the church first 1,000 years with true teachings. There was judgments, there was punishments, and that was keeping it back. But when you look at the behavior of the Renaissance church and the immorality, just the immorality alone, then we look at the heresies, we got them too, you can say something's going on here. These aren't true popes. This could not happen so bad for so long if we had real popes. A real pope wouldn't allow it. He'll excommunicate you. There'll be like only 12 left in his church like us, but it's pure. Yeah, there's only 20, 25 of us, but we're pure. But when I stopped doing all that, you can look back and say, wait till the popes have been taken away. They've been taken away at least since 1130 forward, with Innocent II. And then now we got the evidence on the heresies too. Look at their behavior. Scandalous. Horrible. Worse than a lot of these Protestants. Worse than Muslims. Worse than Orthodox Jews. It's a great scandal. Yeah, they go, oh, we're all sinners. But in the Catholic theology, you're supposed to confess. And if you don't confess your mortal sins and you're absent, we kick your ass out under a minor excom. And if you stop listening to your prelate, now you're in schism, major excom. You're gone. Excommunication. You're gone. That wasn't happening anymore. It was a church full of obstinate mortal sinners. One was committing this, and everyone had their own little pet mortal sin they were committing. The biggest things we're talking about is non-judgmentalism and non-punishmentalism. And this is what was going on. The scandal that was created. And that's why when you look at the Vatican II Church, the Renaissance Church is bad. Look at the idols in the church down there until today. Okay, John Paul II, the bastard apostate, he allowed the Buddha to be put up onto the tabernacle, but they took it down afterwards. These idols are in the church, like on St. Peter's Basilica at the front door. It's got Zeus raping Ganymede. It's got Janus. It's got Heros. It's got about 5-6 other false gods on the door in St. Peter's Basilica. On the door! Permanently. Even now today. Then you go in, you're looking at more false gods. Apollo on the ceiling. Naked pictures. Butt naked pictures. Oh, I had one thing I couldn't even post. I got to censor it first, but... it was something another guy had about the desecration of some other churches in Rome. What can you say? Then they had the naked, at least David was manly, but he was butt naked. Then you had the faggot David. Mm-hmm. Now they had a Saint Sebastian, a faggot Saint Sebastian. You got to see this one. Then they had like a homo type of Christ. Oh, wow. Back then! Yeah. Back then! Yeah. Come on! You people don't want to look at the evidence, you're under the Amos curse because you don't care. Because you're under the operation of error. Oh, Lord, what do you say? He says, Antichrist is coming is according to the power of Satan, and all lying signs and wonders and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Therefore God shall send them the operation of error to believe lying, that all may be judged who did not believe the truth but consented to iniquity. I will allow you to believe it because you want to believe it. You don't want to study your faith. You don't want to stop committing mortal sins. You want to commit mortal sins. You want to hold your heresies. You don't want to be told what to do by anybody. I'm going to blind you. I'm going to put these apostate anti-popes in there with this false church. And now we're under the Amos curse, where it was, for many years, it was almost impossible to find the faith. You had to search high and low to find where it is. That's the Amos curse. Amos what? 8, 11 to 12? He said, do not think that it will come to send a famine upon the earth for bread or for water, but from hearing the word of God. People will go from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall go about seeking the word of God, and they shall not find it. They shall not find it. They shall not find it. Proverbs 1:28. They shall call upon me. I will not answer them. They shall rise in the morning and shall not find me. I will hide from them. I will play possum with them. This has been going on since the great 1,000 years. There's a few people, yes, local laymen and stuff that can save their souls and all that, but it kept getting worse and worse and worse. So you say, God, he's done it before, he's done it with the Jews when he went bad, now he's doing it with us. The worst thing about this New Testament thing with Christ, they use Christ as an excuse to sin. Oh, Christ died on the cross now, we can do whatever we want, because his grace will cover everything. Wait a second, if I was living during the Old Testament era, I got to obey all the commandments, and you know I'm not going to be covered like you are, but now I don't have to obey the commandments, and I can be saved, because Christ is going to give me this free pass. It makes a mockery out of the New Testament even. Even if you want to convert an Orthodox Jew in here or a Muslim, which we're going to get them too. How are you going to do that? If they know at least you got to obey the command. We'll talk to these rabbis. They're strict on certain commandments. Right. You're going to tell him, you go into the Vatican II church and he's going to tell your kids they can be homos and they could commit adultery, and the rabbi's going to go, get away from that boy. Get away from that man. Yeah. I knew the popes were bad. I don't believe in the papacy, but this guy's is unbelievable. Yeah. He's going to pervert my little Orthodox Jewish children or my Muslim, zealous Muslim kids. They're going to introduce homos into these people, at least on the natural plane. They're not doing that. To show you how, just off the same kind of attack, but the United States, how bad they are, and I said she exports her sins over the whole world.
Yeah.
You know what they just did this week against Uganda?
Yeah.
Because Uganda's a punishment. You know, Uganda, they say if you commit the homo crime, we'll put you in jail for, a couple years. If you're obstinate, we'll kill you. Well, that's the Uganda law. It's good. United States said, unless you get, we're going to put sanctions on you. And they're sanctioned, they're taking all the money away from them. They put sanctions on them because of the LGBT. What's that all about? Usually sanctions. How's that threat? How are they threatening us? They're doing what they want to do in Uganda. How are they a threat to us? It's not like they're coming over here and blowing up our cities and, you know, they're terrorizing us. Yeah, that's what they use with the Arabs. Yeah. You know, they're going to terrorize us. Uganda's not terrorizing nobody. I don't see no Ugandans running around blowing up cities in the United States. How are they a threat to us? You see the agenda?
Yeah.
They're a threat to the slobs, the extreme lefty liberals and the Antichrist and his immorality. The United States is the enforcer. She's the harlot, the physical harlot, and Rome is the spiritual harlot. Can't you see what the... And it's just Mumbai, USA?
Yeah.
This country was evil from day one. It was never good, and it just got worse. It was always planned to get worse. His plan was always to be worse because it was run by apostate Jews and Freemasons. They couldn't be real bad in the beginning because people were still moral. They had a little bit of morals on the natural plane. So they took their time, but it was always their plan to get where we are today. But I always tell people that Borgia movie is an education. And it's true. And anybody who's a papal idolater, you better get rid of it or they won't be with us. You know? Popes can do no wrong, they're impeccable and all that. Well, you have to sit down and watch that movie. And if you don't want to do it, I'm going to put toothpicks in your eyes. What do they do to keep your eyes open? No, they might poke their eyeball out. But I'll tape his eyes open. And I'll put his head in a vise. And I'll put a 52-screen TV in front of him. You got to look at this whole thing, okay? I can't take it anymore! It can't be true! Shut up! And you smack him in the back of the head every time he starts trying to complain. Shut up and watch.
Catholic MK Ultra.
I don't believe it. I don't. You're lying. Shut up. Watch. Shall I read the history of popes by Louis Pasteur, yeah, which was approved and authorized by Leo XIII? Who knows why he even allowed it out of the papal archives? That's how we. That when we read that, we'll tell you. We went, whoa! It's my great apostasy book's loaded with quotes from it. HOP, history of the popes. It's shocking. Shocking. They were calling them Jove, Jupiter. The popes are saying to the, oh, you're Jupiter, come down from heaven. You know. And the Pope would allow it. They're calling them Jupiter. The Borgia palaces, they had the bull ices, the idol bull in there and all that. I mean, the Jews are punished because of a golden calf. This is worse. This is like there's stuff all over the place. Unbelievable. What a scandal. It's amazing because when you watch that movie too, you see God still working with it. Here's one comment I'll make. Back then, he was punishing them. Black plagues killed millions of people. Knocked out the whole, Dominican Order? Or,
oh, yeah, Dominican.
Yeah, because at that time, they're doing their philosophy.
Yeah.
Wiped them all out. So God was killing. When God's doing that, he's still working. The Borgia movie does show that he was still trying to get their attention. And you see in the movie, he tries to convert. Here's the thing with the Borgia guy. He does want to repent of certain sins of his immorality because he knows he's got that problem. And so when God had his son Juan Borgia killed, he got murdered, that really shook him up. So the Vatican ceiling fell down on him. And he says, God's not pleased. So God was working with him to get his, and God got his attention a couple times. But he never, ever understood the root of the problem. He would always only stop at his immorality. He would think that was the root of his problem. I have to stop fornicating. I can't go with these women anymore. But that wasn't the root of his problem. The root of his problem was a glorification mythology, scholasticism, and the Hellenization of Christianity. That was the root of his problem. He never thought that was a problem at all. So if you're not going to address that problem, you're under the Romans 1 curse, you're not going to be able to stop fornicating. That's the whole root cause of your problem. There's the one verse in Isaiah, he says, I set them on fire and they knew not. I went against them and they knew not. I set them on fire and they knew not. What do you mean? They didn't know they were on fire? They knew they were on fire. They didn't know why. That's what it means. God says, I punished them and they knew not why. I set them on fire and they still knew not why. So he gets down and goes, okay, I'll stop fornicating. That's not your main problem. That's a problem, yeah. That's not your main problem. You got idols all over the Vatican. You're glorifying philosophy. You got these filthy artists in here. You don't even believe it's a sin. That's your problem. So they never saw the bullseye, even down to today. People keep saying, God told me too, unless I get the faith right, I'm never going to be cleaned up morally. With the immoral sins of immorality, you have to have the faith. You have to get that Romans 1 curse lifted from you. Because as they like not to have knowledge of God, God turned them over to reprobate saints. Romans 1:28. And he gives you a list of all these things they're committing, which is today. And yet, how can you tell they're false prophets? By your fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7:15. Who knows that one?
Matthew 7:15.
For God your salvation fear. No. For there shall be false prophets among the teaching, who come to you in clothing of sheep, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit, an evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Just take a look at all these evil fruits. And you like to make fruit, right? Yeah. Could you sell evil fruit if you go down there? Rotten, smelly fruit, right? Yeah. Ryan's got some of the best fruit you can get in New Mexico. Pesticide free. You know, he'll give you 2-for-1 sale if you guys show up here next week. Well, he'll give you a deal. Come on, right? Adam, here's this thing down here. He's in Las Cruces, where he goes to the farmer's market. But if you had evil fruit, you know. But people are eating evil fruit. They love the evil fruit. It's like eating crap. Yeah. It's like here's a steak and here's crap, and they take the crap spiritually.
Right.
It's sin. It's spiritual crap. Yeah. It's like, okay, look at the art. Look at the ugliness that these people even develop when you're really bad. It's, they love ugliness. Because the devil's ugly, so he wants everyone to be ugly, and he wants you to love ugliness, because he's ugly, he's smelly, he's stinky, he's evil, and he's the definition, the author of all evil. You tell me he doesn't have complete control over this? He always did, but even now, more than ever. Any questions for anybody?
The day says, and he poured out upon him the indignation of his fury in a strong battle, and hath burnt him round about, and he knew not, and he set him on fire, and he understood not. Isaiah 42:25.
Isaiah 42:25. That was the verse. Yeah, that was a good. That was good. They understood not. Yeah. Okay, you got a problem with fornication, but that's not your number one problem, knucklehead. Those are sins, you know. Against the moral commandments, you are committing sins against the faith. You are an idolater.
Yep.
You are an apostate. You expect to be morally clean. And especially when you're that type of, like the Muslims don't even have that. They're bad, but they don't have any idols. Although some of them are bad now. They got that thing they march around, that big black stone. That's kind of weird too. But, or the Orthodox Jew, you know. Who at least rejects the idols. How are you going to get that guy to come into a church? He's going, wait a second. You know, even they know, the guys, the Orthodox, the real Ultra-Orthodox, they hate Hellenization of Christianity. They are separate from the world. And to their credit, you got to give them credit. They're a lot more zealous in their false religion than Catholics are. We married the world. They separated from it. Evil as they are, yes, but they're not as evil as nominal Catholics are today. Oh, Mr. Orthodox Jew, you teach your kids not to commit fornication. Wait till they get married. Women are submissive to their husbands. We can have no idols. But now we want you to become a true Christian, to save your soul and become a Catholic. And now you, your wife can boss you around. You can teach your kid to be a homo. And you have to come to a church where we got idols on the door of false gods. So that's what you need to do to be saved. You see the scandal? You see the scandal? And you know, these wicked Jews that are at the top of the plot, they did this on purpose by infiltrating the Catholic Church and besmirching her reputation in the eyes of people. Because they think that's what the Catholic Church is. One of the brothers, again, this week even told me that the hardest thing is that when he's talking about the church is that he's embarrassed about the church there.
Yeah.
And I said, that's why the first thing you got to tell these people is, yeah, right. But let me let you know, the Church of Rome is not the Catholic Church anymore. They're an apostasy. It's not the true Catholic Church. Look at some of the, that's the first thing you tell them. I said, look at our evangelization card, the back of it. I sent them. I said, this is sculpted to let people know, no, because here it is. Like, yeah. You go up, you go, oh, I'm a Catholic. I want to teach you about the Catholic faith. Get away from me. Get away from my kid. Get away from my girl. Stay far away from me. No, 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 no. I'm not that kind of a Catholic. Please, please, come back. I'm not that kind of a Catholic. I don't support that stuff. We're true Catholics. They're false.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you mean? You see? Yeah. What is the name Catholic is just like the name Jew, Judaism. Yeah. They destroyed, true Judaism ended. It was replaced by the New Covenant. So what exists today is an abomination. Their Talmud's full of crap. I mean, yeah. They gave true Judaism a bad name. And now we're giving Catholicism a bad name. You want me to be Catholic so I can teach my kid how to be home? The stuff is getting so bad now. I mean, he had a picture. He was sitting behind a picture of two guys mugging it up.
Yeah.
Two homos hugging one another. At the world.
Yeah.
He says transgenders are okay. We welcome them to the church. Don't listen to those who quote the Bible and condemn you. That's what he said. Come on! Is any good little person to come in that church? That's why I'm going to tell you something. I still say this a lot of times. People that are still in that church, like Robert St. Genis and Bannon, and I don't know.
Kennedy.
Who?
Kennedy.
Yeah, I, who?
Jeff.
Well, he's bad anyway. Well, I'm not thinking of him, but he's just rotten.
Yeah.
He would love that church. But these people pretend to be conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about conservative people. And you're still in that church? I think you're a Canaanite, and there's no hope for you. I really think there's a hot, I had to put it, I'm a gambling man. I like, you can gamble at the time, if it's a good gambling game, whatever. I would say 85% of me tells me that they're done. They committed a sin against the Holy Spirit. As much as we pray for them and we hope, and that Jim O'Doherty, she still believes the guys. I think they sinned against the Holy Spirit. They're done. They're done. You know, we're thinking, oh, we're going to get these people. You watch who you're going to get. You're going to get Talmudic Jews, Muslims, Protestants, conservative, you're going to get them, but you're not going to get these other people that you're thinking you might get. Michael Matt, he's still staying in there. And they come up, and I'm talking about the people that admit these things. Yeah. They look at it, and they say, Holy Father! They call that basset hound, poop, the Holy Father. The only holes I want him to have is holes in his head from bullets. I say that many times, bullets. But I won't kill him easy. If I had control of him and power over him, he doesn't die easy. I torture him, peel some of his skin off, throw vinegar on it, have the doctor heal him up a little bit, do it again, heal him up a little bit, bring him out another, and then finally kill him. The final thing would be burn him at the stake.
Yep.
Head on a pike, too. That would be nice, right?
Because
you can hang that out there for a while. You can look at it. Let the bugs eat it and all that. Boy, what a homo he is, too. You just look at that guy. I mean, I mean, you know, sometimes you want, like Ezekiel, and when he picked Ezekiel up, and he says, son of man, go into my temple and see what they're doing. Maybe one day, Richard, bring your camera with you now, and I'm going to bring you into the back rooms of the Vatican. Look at him. He's doing the homo thing. Look, they're offering up the saint. There's Beelzebub. Yeah. Look, there's the end. Look, he just stabbed him. Look, he's eating the kid.
Yeah.
Well, you think that's a joke? Oh, yeah, that really is going on. People are good actors. They're good actors. You look at people who they found out were bona fide witches, warlocks, and Satanists, and you would never know it unless you had to inquire, investigate, and it came out in the public. You say, well, I knew Luke. He was next to me all the time. He's the nicest guy in the world. He has a nice lawn, very friendly. You know, he eats kids at night. He offers them up, he eats them. He murders people. He's a homo. You know, he's... You mean? Nah. People are good actors.
It's funny you say that. the Breaking Bad. Remember the guy doing the drugs, the Polo Chicken manager?
Oh, yeah.
He looks real innocent. Yeah, yeah. And he's a big drug dealer.
Yeah. Well, when you watch that that Teresa, poor girl that she was, and her grandmother,
yeah.
And you look, she just looked like a grandmother,
yeah.
And you find, and she told you what she did.
Yeah.
You would meet her in the street, think she's like a little babushka grandmother, you know, a nice old little lady, a witch,
yeah.
Fornicating, offering up human sacrifices and eating them. Her little granddaughter having her fornicate with animals and men. All in big orgies. This is the nice-looking little grandmother. See? Don't be deceived. I'm not fine. Because you say, you mean the poop could be doing that? Yeah!
Of course.
If you ever saw what these people are doing in the back room, yeah. Where do you think they're getting all their power from? These guys are so deep into Satanism and his Vatican II Church, it's unbelievable.